starting a new series. In this series, we're going to be looking at the different characters of Christmas. Today, I'm going to do an introduction that talks about the characters who were involved in prophecy, the very ones who God gave his message to of his eventual coming. And we'll learn some more about it as we go. Next week, we're going to look at Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, and see how God played a part in their lives. Of course, the entire story of Christmas, Christ's birth, has to do with his gospel message of coming to redeem people. But he used a lot of different individuals to be participants in that eventual unfolding of his coming. And we're going to learn a lot from each of them about faith, about obedience, about just trusting God. And we'll see what we can apply from that to our lives as we go forward with this. You know, in Romans chapter 10, there's a little section of teaching there from Paul by the Holy Spirit who says, how then shall they call on him? This is verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report or our preaching? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you go over to 1 Corinthians 13, it says there in that love chapter, now abides these three things, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. What precedes love? Hope. What precedes hope? Faith. What precedes faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing is the word of God. You must, like that chair, come to a point of saying, I've been told some information, do I believe it? Do I have trust that it is true? And of course, God's word is true. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about faith. It's the faith chapter of many, many witnesses of God's working in their lives through faith. But I just want to bring that to focus again for you before we get into the details of how we apply this to the prophets. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is beyond the physical senses. It is not something that we see, smell, taste, hear, touch. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God hath translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Here's the key verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. I don't know how you came to faith, if you've come to a place of putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but probably somebody shared the gospel message with you. That's probably how it happened. And as a result, you were faced with this decision, do I believe it or not? If I believe it, am I going to act on it? like sitting on the chair. Faith works in daily life, not only in the context of our redemption and salvation, but also in our daily life. It's fascinating to me that as you go through the scriptures of the accounts of Jesus walking on this earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that you don't hear him at all praising intellect. You don't hear him at all praising intelligence or talent or wealth. Over and over and over, we see lessons in which he says, "How great is your faith?" Faith is what he commends. How big is your faith? Do you believe what he tells you? There's an account in Luke chapter 7 that I'd like to just use as an illustration here today of how God wonderfully shows his admiration of faith in us as people. Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 1. "Now when Jesus had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant," remember this now, centurion's servant, Roman servant, "who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus," the centurion, "he sent unto him the elders of the Jews." It's fascinating. He didn't go himself. He got some Jewish leaders and said, "Would you go to Jesus for me?" "Sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus," those Jewish leaders, "they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this." This centurion man, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's worthy for you to do this for him. "For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue." He's in good favor. "Then Jesus went with them," those Jewish leaders. "And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest even enter under my roof." This was not an arrogant, demanding Roman centurion. This is a man who had an admiration and respect for what they saw as a great rabbi. "Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." You don't even have to come to my house. Just say the word, and he'll be healed. "For I also am a man under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Jesus had an awesome admiration for that man's faith. "Lord, just say the word. You don't even, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just say the word." That challenges me. Does it challenge you? Faith. How much faith do we have? How much do we actually believe in God's power? When we pray, when we face issues and challenges in our life, kind of like almost if it gets really bad, then we'll pray. Isn't that often how it goes? Whereas faith is the opportunity to come right to the very first thing we think of. What would God want to do in this situation? That's how faith works in our daily life. Faith and prophecy calls us to believe. It calls us to believe. I'm going to use one more illustration out of the Old Testament. We saw one from the New. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's go back to the father of faith, Abraham. Genesis chapter 15. Let's see what we can learn from his life. Genesis chapter 15. God used him in a mighty way. But oh, it was a test in the beginning. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Abram's saying, I'm not going to be great. I don't even have children. We're not able. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir. This servant of yours is not going to be your heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. More than the number of the stars. Now, we don't see as many here in the urban area of Vancouver with all the city lights on. Boy, if you go out into the areas where there are no city lights, the stars are beyond counting. That was the lesson God was giving to Abraham. And now he had a choice to make. This is God's statement. I'm going to give you descendants that are more in number than all of the stars of the heavens. Abram, what do you do with that? And it says there in verse 6, And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. See that moment? When God says something, do I believe or do I not believe? Do I exercise faith or not? That's the test. Faith and prophecy, and this was prophecy. God was giving to Abraham a statement of what would happen even beyond his lifetime. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? It calls us to believe. I want to point out that on your outline there, there's 37 faith prophecies of Christ's first coming. 37. They were brought to us through 10 different prophets. Some of them duplicated each other in different eras of time. They made 50 statements overall together. And those 50 statements were made over a period of 1,100 years, from 1500 BC to 400 BC. These different prophecies were made. And there's the list of the different prophets that God used to record these in the scriptures that we have. Isaiah was 17 of those statements. David was 16 in the Psalms. Zechariah was 5. Jeremiah was 3. Moses was 3. Micah was 2. Nathan was 1. Daniel was 1. Hosea was 1. And Malachi was 1. God had a plan for his coming son. And he began to reveal the details of it 1,500 years earlier. I share with you that there is a document on the welcome desk that you're welcome to help yourself to. It goes through all 37 of these prophecies and tells you exactly where in Scripture to find them. I'm going to read them. 37 of them. See how awesome it is that each of these details were announced up to 1,500 years before it happened, just as close as up to 400 years before it happened, and how we know today they were all fulfilled. The men that God was speaking through and presenting these prophecies had no clue. In fact, it didn't even happen in their lifetime. Here we have it in hindsight. He would be born of a virgin. He'd be given the throne of David. This throne was to be an eternal throne. He would be called Emmanuel. He would have a forerunner, someone preparing the way for his coming. He would be born in Bethlehem. He'd be worshipped by wise men and presented with gifts. You find that as early as the Psalms, which is 1,000 years before his coming. He would be in Egypt for a season. His birthplace would suffer a massacre of infants. he would be called a Nazarene. He would be zealous. He'd be zealous for the Father, for his Father, Heavenly Father. He'd be filled with God's Spirit. He would heal many. He would deal gently with the Gentiles. He would speak in parables. He would be rejected by his own. He'd make a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He would be praised by little children. He would be the rejected cornerstone. His miracles would not be believed. He would be betrayed by his friend for 30 pieces of silver. That's as early as 1,000 years before as well. He would be a man of sorrows. He would be forsaken by his disciples. He would be scourged and spat upon. His price money would eventually be used to buy a potter's field. Imagine the detail. He would be crucified between two thieves. He would be given vinegar to drink. He would suffer the piercing of hands and feet. His garments would be parted and gambled for. He'd be surrounded and ridiculed by his enemies. He would thirst. He would commend his spirit to the Father. No bones of his body would be broken. He would be stared at in death. He would be buried with the rich. He would be raised from the dead, and he would ascend to his heavenly Father. All 37 prophecies, 1500 to 400 BC. Can you imagine the detail? I don't know if anybody, how can you deny that as not being a miracle? That is a miracle. It's a miracle. And just as there are prophecies of his first coming, so there are prophecies of his second coming. And they will be fulfilled just as well. I just want to point out here, Christ came to redeem those who by faith would follow him. Faith. And through those that would follow him, he would build his kingdom. He came to fulfill the promises and prophecies, but he came also to say, as you follow me, you would become part of his kingdom, an eternal kingdom. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In this little verse lies the secret of all that is there for us to have relationship with God. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's nothing you can do other than believe. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As citizens of his kingdom, he calls us to please him by doing good for people around us. Show our love for God by loving people around us. What's your faith relationship today? Faith is the foundation for our relationship with God. Do you know him? If not, by faith, confess your sins. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord. Follow his teachings. Love him and love others. That's the essence of his teachings. And then you'll see how God wonderfully brings into place his plan that'll include you and me. Isn't that going to be great? It's awesome. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the different characters that were part of his first coming. Next week, I'll be looking at the study of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Fascinating story of two old people who were beyond the age of having children, and God miraculously brought it to pass. Did they have the faith to believe And we're going to see from Zacharias' life how he questioned and he suffered for it. But God ultimately brought it to pass. Then for the next week, we're going to have different elders over the next few weeks share in the preaching. You don't have to listen to me for the next few weeks. It's going to be different ones participating. So the following week will be a study of the character of Mary. And Carrie Yost will be sharing that. And the following week after that will be the study of the character of Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. And it'll be Brandon Yost who will be teaching that Sunday. And then the following Sunday will be John the Baptist. And the ministry of John the Baptist in preparing the way for the Lord, and that will be Pastor Justin. And then the next week will be Wiseman by Ron Barkman. And then the shepherds with John Plett. He's going to talk to us about the role of the shepherds in the birth of Jesus. And then Christmas Day lands on a Sunday this year. And so we'll be gathering on a Sunday. And we'll be having that time on Sunday morning to look at how Jesus Christ fulfilled all these prophecies. And what are some of the prophecies that tell us he's coming again? That'll generate hope. And hope brings love. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. What an amazing unfolding of a story prophesied, predicted, foreshadowed hundreds and hundreds of years in advance. It's a miracle. We thank you for the accounts that we have. Forgive us for our small faith. Grant to us grace that we could believe and trust you. When you've said something, it's going to happen. And thank you, Lord, for each of these men who will participate in the weeks to come in sharing the story of how all these different normal, regular, down-earth, common people were used as part of your plan and had the joy of participating in it for your first coming. And then, Lord, as we look forward to Christmas Day and we think about the promises of your coming again, oh, inspire in us great faith to see beyond this life to what you have planned. And we'll give you praise and we give you glory because you are so worthy. And we just thank you and bless your holy name. What a wonder it is to be part of your family and your kingdom. And we thank you because of what Jesus did for us. In his holy name, amen.